Hey, this is Dr. J, and you're listening to a little R&R on sports.
And we're back with a little R&R on sports. This is Larry Robinson, and we have today a gentleman that some will know as Junior, some will know as the Kid, but I'm just going to call him Hall of Famer, Ken Griffey Jr. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. How about you guys?
Fantastic.
Doing great.
Fantastic.
Ken, we want to start out. We like to start out with our guests at the beginning, and your beginnings in baseball are much heralded. So I want to start by asking something that I know a lot of our listeners want to know, particularly given the fact that you grew up under a dad, a baseball Hall of Famer, and, you know, so many of us have children now who play sports. How was it for you growing up? Was there a lot of pressure from your dad to play baseball, to excel at it and all of that? How was that?
He wanted us to play everything. He didn't want us to just sit there and say, all right, I'm going to focus on baseball and that's it. He just let us be kids.
Right.
And there was no pressure put on us, you know, to be, you know, great at anything other than school.
Right, right, right.
You know, that's
right.
The only thing that they cared about. My mom and dad were like, hey, if you get your grade, we'll do whatever we can. The money's a lot different than it is now. You know, early in my dad's career, he had to have a second job.
Oh, wow. I
didn't know. My mom worked.
Okay.
So, my mom worked at a Holiday Inn in Cincinnati when my dad was you know, in the league.
In the big, okay.
Okay. So there's a lot of things that people don't know. They think because you play sports that you're automatically, you know, a millionaire and you get to drive this, you get to do that. That's not true. You know, my parents have, you know, if you go to where I was born or where they were born, you'll find a different mentality.
Right.
So, you know, my dad was just like any other dad. You know, I didn't realize who my dad actually was until I got into, like, the eighth grade, and they were like, your dad plays for the Yankees. I was like, yeah, and because, you know, I didn't know any better. He was just dad. And
right.
I think people look at, you know, athletes a little differently. And you know, we are normal people. I tell my kids all the time, I'm a normal parent. I just have an abnormal job.
There you go.
Right.
Because if
that's
I wasn't seen on TV, nobody would care what I did.
That's very interesting. I think I read somewhere that you were recruited out of high school as a running back. You played football too, right?
Yeah, I was going to go play quarterback at Oklahoma, running back, because they didn't throw much, so it was more like the run and shoot, you know.
Okay, okay.
Wishbone, yeah. You know, all that stuff, so I could run the ball a little bit. But guys a little bit bigger than me at the time, and I was like, well, you know, I don't know if I want to take all this punishment. When you see a linebacker, you know, 6'3", 235.
Yes.
And you're 5'8", 5'9", 150. That matchup ain't going to win.
I'm going to come at you straight. Listen, you and your dad are renowned pro baseball players. How in the world did you don't have any of your children playing baseball?
They don't want to.
Oh, wow. And why?
You know, they played it, and, you know, they said they liked other sports better. And, you know, it's fine with me. I mean, I don't, like I said, I don't put any pressure. You know, you can't teach the love of the game, force the love of the game on you know, kids.
Uh-huh.
You know, they got to want it, you know, and I let my kids do everything. You know, the only thing that I really forced them to do was play the piano. You're going to play an instrument. It ain't going to be the drums, but get that out the way.
That's very cool.
It's not going to be loud.
Cool. That's real cool.
It's something that, you know, you know, so, you know, all my kids want to play the piano.
Where did that come from? Do you play? Does your wife play?
I played the piano up until like the fifth grade. You know, I still go in there and dabble a little bit.
As long as you can entertain yourself, man, you're good.
I want you to listen to something real quick, and I want you to tell us what this song means to you.
Just let your soul go. Just let it shine through. Just let your soul go, baby.
So tell us, what does that song from Coming to America mean to you?
That was my intro to Coming to the Plate. You know, you know, every you get 10 seconds, and you know, one of the guys we were watching Coming to America. I said, I want to have that for my... And they dared me. It was a dare at first.
Oh, really?
And
somebody dared you to do that?
Yep. So it was Adam Dunn.
Uh-huh.
So the next day we're at home. We were in Arizona. So the next day we flew home. And, you know, they thought it was a joke. You know, the guy's like, man, we can't play this. I was like, play it. My third at bat, play it. So I come up the third at bat. Dimitri Young, Prince Fielder, and Ricky Weeks was sitting there. And the song came on, and I could have hit a ball at Prince's feet. He wouldn't have been able to make a play because he was laughing so hard. And it just stuck. I mean, and then I got traded to Chicago a couple years after that, and I played it there. And about the second or third series, I had a big old sign that said, Ken, get your soul glow on.
Oh, wow.
From a fan.
Oh, that's cool. That's real cool.
And, you know, when I signed a free agency to go back to Seattle, I had them play that. You know, they played the hip-hop array and all the old stuff that I had, you know, growing up. But I made sure that I mixed in two things. One was my tribute to Michael Jackson. They played that. I went up there with one batting glove.
Oh, okay. That's real cool. So, okay, you had one of the most touching and heartfelt Hall of Fame speeches to the Seattle crowd. But one part in particular was your tribute or your comments regarding Jay Buhner and the closeness that you guys share. Can you share with us?
Hold on, you better.
I said one of the most touching parts of your Hall of Fame speech to the Seattle Mariners crowd was your comments regarding Jay Buhner. And I wanted to know if you could share some of that, your closeness, your relationship with Jay, to the audience.
Jay and I, like when I said it, I said, you know, if you can't find two people who are opposite, we're it. I mean, we're the two. I mean, I'm black, he's white. He listened to country. I listen to hip hop. You know, he wears Wranglers. At that time, I was in Jabot jeans. You know, but we had the common goal of winning baseball games. And I went through like 70 left fielders, so I didn't know who was going to be the mother. So every time we had a pitching change, I'd go to Jay. And it just started. And like I tell everybody to this day, if something happens to me and my wife, I would want Jay to raise my kids.
Wow.
Wow, that's a heck of a...
That's close.
Because I have that much faith and trust and love for Jay. And he knows, you know, he's like, you know, when I plan my trip, so I know he's going to be in town. He plans his trips when he knows I'm going to be in town.
Well, that's,
you
that's
know, so
great.
So we get a chance to hang out. We talk probably 3 or 4 times a month. You know, check on the kids. You know, he calls to make sure, ask me how my mom and dad are doing. You know, they were just in Tucson. I was like, hey, stay at the house. He was like, no, we got a hotel because they don't have. I was like, okay. But it's just that one person that you grow up with and you meet in your job that you're like, all right, I can hang with him.
Right.
You know, every getaway day, one of my friends would pick both Jay and I up, drive us to the ballpark. So, you know, I got to listen to certain things, you know, your Garth Brooks, Faith Evans, you know, Shania Twain, Toby Keith, you know, we had different music selections, and he would listen to Method and Red and Ice Cube and everybody else. So we learned a lot about each other's music. But the friendship was probably the biggest thing because we cared about one another as people more than our differences.
Final question, Ken. The stats speak for themselves. 13-time All-Star, 10-time Golden Glove Award, 7-time Silver Slugger Award, 4-time AL Home Run Champion, 3-time Home Run Derby. Despite all of that, what is, in your opinion, your legacy in Major League Baseball, or what would you like it to be?
I don't really pay a whole lot of attention to things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That I enjoyed the game and I played it like it was supposed to be played. I played it hard. I had fun. You know, I'm not, you know, a doctor. I'm not saving lives. I'm hoping that when you come to the ballpark, that I do something that you'll remember.
Right.
Whether good or bad. Try not to be on the bad side too many times. But that you were like, that boy can play.
There you go. Truly spoken as an old schooler. That boy can play. Ken Griffey
Jr. The kid.
Thank you so much for being on a little R&R on sports. We appreciate having you. Hope that you will join us again in the future.
No problem.
All the best to you and your family. We'll be right back with a little more R&R on sports right after this.
Open Sesame.